Nancy, good to see you. Praise the Lord. You have your birthday on Mother's Day and the day you're getting baptized. So I guess that all works out. Praise the Lord. We rejoice with you that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Nick, good to see you. Our condolences to you and your family, Lisa and Sergio. I see Howie's here as well. He had a loss in a family. Shout out to Jamesy. Our condolences. Thank God that we know that these people that passed have gone on to glory. And that is something to rejoice in. I know we're saddened here. We miss them dearly. But to know that they're in the presence of God, what rejoicing there is. I am in the book of Jeremiah chapter 8 again. We're going to move on from the verse that I spoke on last time. We're going to move on to the last few verses of the chapter. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 30. Oh, they're 20. I'm sorry. I can't read. My eyes are blind here. Verse 20, the last three verses, whatever numbers they may be, the last three verses, the harvest is past. The summer is ended and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment had taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? And let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, we thank you for these mothers. We're thankful that you instituted marriage and you've given us mothers. We're grateful for that. We pray you bless each and every one that are here this morning. Amen. Lord, we pray for Nick and Sergio and Lisa and Howie and Jamesy and others, that you would give them peace and comfort that passes all understanding. Lord, we pray that you bless Nancy as she's called upon your name. You saved her soul. Lord, help her to grow in grace and grow and follow you. And Lord, I pray that you bless everyone here this morning. I pray if there's a person here that does not know you as their Savior, they'd come to know you today. And I pray that you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. I came across this verse reading Jeremiah chapter 8, and just that little phrase there jumped out at me. It startled me a little bit, made me ponder and meditate. He says in verse 20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And that is the title of my message this morning, Why Are We Not Saved? Now, the opposite of saved in this context, what you could say is lost. And I don't know if you've ever been lost in your life in any shape or form. Maybe some of you students, you've gone to a test or your final exam and you sit down at the exam and you look at the question and you are completely lost. You don't have any idea how to answer that question. You don't know which way to go, how to attack the problem. You're lost. You're befuddled. You have no answers. We could say that's a way of being lost. I can remember as a young man being lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a form of loss, and I'm going to apply that here this morning. But as a young man, 10 years old, before the divorce, my dad and mom would take us camping every summer, and we would go camping at different lakes, and my brother and I and our neighbor who was camping with us decided that we were going to take the trail around the lake. It was a rather big lake and there was a trail going off and we started marching off on that trail. Unfortunately, we did not know that that trail did not go around the lake. It just ended up in the middle of the forest and stopped. And we got lost. We didn't know how to get back. Well, we could have followed the trail back, but we kept on going through the woods. And we got to a place that we couldn't find the trail that we were originally on. Not that we wanted to go back, because we jumped over two snakes and a swarm of mosquitoes that was so black you couldn't see the sun. So we didn't want to go back that way. So we kept on pressing forward till we got to a place that we were lost. That is to say, we did not know how to get home. You ever been there? Could you imagine the anxiety of my mother? Where's my boys? They're lost. Well, we finally found a road and started walking down the road, and the sheriff had been called and he picked us up and took us back to the campground. So otherwise I wouldn't be here. I'd still be lost. My wife, she said that when she was younger, she was terrified by the film Lost in Space. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. You know, I don't know why that film would terrify her, but you know, just I guess the thought of being out in space and being what? Lost. You don't know how to get back. That's a terrifying feeling. It brings great anxiety into your life to realize you're lost. You don't know how to get there. You don't know how to get back to safety. You read some stories or maybe watch a film. Somebody is shipwrecked and they're lost out to sea. You hear about sailors shot down in war and they're in a little raft. They're out in the middle of the ocean somewhere and there's nobody to rescue them. We say they're lost. And then here in our context it says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. We're lost. We don't have anybody to rescue us. We don't have anybody to save us. And why is it? How can it be? The time of our salvation seems to have passed by us and we're lost. I remember I was mentioning earlier that I remember before I was saved, being lost. I would not want to go back to that state again ever. We've had some funerals. Funerals are tough, but you can imagine how a funeral would be if the person that passed away was lost with no hope of salvation. I don't know how atheists get through a funeral. No God, no hope, no resurrection. Don't know how they get. That is a terrible thing to think about, being lost. What is it to be lost? Separated from God, far from God. You remember the prodigal? Came to himself. He said, oh, I'm going to go back to my dad. I'll be a servant in my father's house. And when he got back there, he cried out, the father cried out, this my son was lost, but now is found. Yeah, lost. The lost person is trapped in sin, a slave to sin. Sin is their taskmaster. It's a terrible situation to be bound by sin. That's lost. To be lost, to be under bondage of the law. Did you know the law doesn't give mercy? Only condemnation. To be under the law is to be lost. And I've known some people, they voluntarily try to put themselves under the law and try to keep the law. They delude themselves in thinking they're okay, but they're not okay. They're lost. They're damned because they haven't kept the law. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, I like the wording. I'll just use Paul's wording here. He says at that time when we were lost, at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a terrible place to be. No hope without God in the world. Thank God that we can save those that are saved. But now in Christ Jesus, we have sometimes we're far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I'm thankful that I'm no longer lost. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful somebody told me about the gospel. I'm thankful that I was saved from my sins, delivered from the bondage of the law, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and gloriously saved by His mercy and His grace. And I know that I'm going to heaven. Lost, I do not want to be. And so it's so terrifying to read these scriptures that the harvest is past and the summer has ended and we are not saved. What a terrible thing it must be to be in a position of being lost. Lost. Did you know lost people are under the wrath of God? Have you ever read some of the plagues in the book of Revelation? Just to get a little bit of view of God's wrath. Have you ever read the story of the flood? God's wrath. Have you ever read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? God's wrath. I would not want to be under wrath every day. And yet the Bible says those that are lost are under the wrath of God. I was telling you about being lost in a forest. You know, there's a point when you think you know where you're at. So you're not really concerned. You think you're really lost. But your mind is telling, oh, I know where I'm okay. Yeah. So there's this progression. Then there's a moment, there's that realization, I really don't know where I'm at. And then one step further, you realize, I don't know how to get back. And fear and anxiety begins to grip you and you realize, I have no way of being saved. I'm lost. Let me tell you something about being lost. That if you realize you're lost, that is a great step, because a lot of people are running around and they just don't know they're lost. I can remember two old preachers, yeah. Well, they were old back then. They were back in the day. This was in the 60s. They were traveling from Alaska through Canada down into Washington. It's about a 12-hour drive through Canada. The roads weren't all that good back then. They didn't have a lot of gas stations back then. And they had to get to the next place where they're going to be preaching. And so they left and they made an agreement. One of us will sleep for 6 hours in the back of the car and the other will drive for 6 hours. They're going to drive all night long. And so the first brother, he drove for 6 hours. I don't remember exactly how many gas stations were on this trip, but there weren't too many. And so they stopped off at 6 hours. They stopped off to get some gasoline, went in to get him some coffee, I imagine. And then they switched places, and the other brother got into the driver's seat of the car, and he turned left on the highway, and he drove straight back to where they come for 6 hours. Never realizing he was lost. He was going the wrong way in the dark. I imagine there's some people that way. They don't realize they're lost. They're thinking everything's going well. I'm on the road. I'm in control. I've got the wheel in my hand, the car in my hand. I'm driving the car. I'm going in the right direction. So they suppose, until they get to that moment and they realized, I've been going the wrong way. Well, in that condition, you could turn around and go back. You just lose 12 hours, right? But what if you're lost for eternity? What then? Well, the title of my sermon is Why Are We Lost? So I began pondering that question. I have a few points. The first point is, maybe we're lost because we haven't heard the gospel. Maybe we're lost because we're deceived by a false gospel. Maybe we're lost because we've put off the gospel. Maybe we're lost because we refuse to repent. And I don't want to end with that, so I want to give you the value of the gospel, and then I want to give you a message on God's seasons, and then my beseeching to end it up with this message this morning. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. If you look in Romans in chapter 10, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, in verse 14 it begins, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Is it possible that somebody could be lost today without Christ, without hope, aliens from the covenants of God, aliens from the promises of God, having no salvation, living in this world under the wrath of God, under the bondage of sin, under the bondage of the law? Is it possible that they're in that condition because somebody hasn't preached to them the gospel? I think that's why we send out missionaries, isn't it? Because we're convinced that God wants us to reach us the law, to reach the lost. Did you know that God doesn't want you to be lost?
Thank you, Lord.
That God wants you to be saved?
Amen.
Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Thank God for that. We don't serve a God that delights in destroying the wicked. We serve a God that did everything in his power to save the wicked. He gave his only begotten son. But could it be? Shame on us if there are lost people out there and we haven't endeavored to preach to them the gospel. What's that little song the kids like to sing? "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." We don't hide the gospel light under a bushel. We want to get the gospel out, light out everywhere so that nobody will be lost.
Amen.
We want to be a beacon of light so those that are lost in their sin might see the light and start heading towards that light. In Acts in chapter 8, Philip ran to the eunuch. He ran up to him in the carriage there. And he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading? And he replied, "How can I? except some man should guide me. Here's a man that had a Bible in his hand. He's reading the Bible, but he's still lost. He doesn't understand it. He needs some light. He needs some guidance. He needs somebody that knows the gospel to come to him and tell him the glorious news that Christ came into the world to save the lost, to save sinners. Is it possible that you heard this morning that you have never had a preacher explain to you the gospel? Well, if you come to the right place, because we got a Bible in our hands, we got Christ in our hearts, and we got the light of God in our lives, that we can guide you to Christ. And believe me, we're going to point you to Christ. We're not going to point you to our church. We're not going to point you to ourselves. We're going to point you to Christ. Christ is the only Savior of the lost. He's your only hope. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 19. He said, if thou hadst known even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. If you only knew, my friend, what's on the other side. If you only knew the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you're blind and walking around in your sins and you have no conception. But let me tell you from the other side of somebody who was lost, but now I'm found. Who is without Christ, but Christ is now in me. Let me tell you, there's a world of difference. Amen. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. There is no peace for the wicked, the Bible says. But there is peace in Christ. He is our peace. It's also very possible that people are deceived. Don't you just hate being deceived? Especially when you find out that you were deceived. I mean, if you're just going along in ignorance, think, you know, you were deceived, you don't know about it, it's not, no big deal. You don't even think about it, right? You're not cognizant of it. There's no big problem. But when you realize you've been deceived, boy, that makes a difference, doesn't it? And are we all cautious about being deceived? Before we go buy a car, you know, we check out the YouTube to figure out how to buy a car, and we read books on how to buy a car and how to negotiate. Why? Because we don't want to be deceived. And I've seen some of you mothers at the grocery store. You're over there in the tomato pile. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm supposing is you don't want to be deceived. You don't want a tomato that's been painted red. You want one that's really red. You're squeezing and you're looking and you're poking and you're prodding. And what are you doing? You don't want to be deceived. You want to get the best value for your money. Who wants to buy a rotten tomato? I don't even know how much tomatoes cost, but you don't want to pay any more than you should. You want to get the most bang for your buck. So you're looking for that right tomato, the right one that will make you happy and make your family happy. And you can make some tomato soup. We don't want to be deceived. But did you know that Jesus said there's going to be many false prophets? Amen. Many? Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might bear with them. Paul was concerned about people believing another Jesus. Not the real one, the false one. Paul was concerned about people being corrupted by a false gospel, a false spirit. And there's a lot of people in the world that way. They have the appearance of Christianity, but they don't have Christ. They have the trappings of Christianity. They have the baptisms. They have the sacraments. They have everything that looks like it's Christian, but they don't have the reality. And boy, that's a terrible place to be. To think you're going the right way, but you're traveling 6 hours the wrong way. That's a terrible place to be. Paul said in Galatians in chapter 1, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Do you know what Paul preached? Salvation is only in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You cannot earn salvation. You cannot gain salvation by your efforts. Water baptism, Nancy, does not give you salvation. If you're not already saved and in Christ, there's no reason for you to get baptized today. It's in Christ. And yet religion, in the name of Christ, they take the name of Jesus and they tell you water baptism saves, sacrament saves, going to church saves, reading a Bible saves, or any other multitude of other things. Let me tell you, my friend, that salvation is only in Christ.
Amen.
It's not Christ and you. It's Christ alone. It's not what you can do for Christ. There's nothing you can do for Christ. You're lost. You can't help yourself. You can't find your way out. You're out lost at sea. You're lost in space. You're lost in the forest. You need somebody to come and save you. And that Savior is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I was taught, not directly but indirectly, that good little boys go to heaven and bad little boys go to hell. Now, fortunately for me, I realized I was not a good little boy despite what my mother continually said I was. Or even my neighbor's mother would say, oh, Brent, I was a paper boy, so I would see all the mothers traveling around making collections, and they'd say, Brent, we just wish these other boys in the street would be good like you. And I don't know about you, but boy, that really racked my conscience, because if they only knew what I had done the night before, they would not have been saying that. I think I told you the story before, but it's relevant. My brother, my younger brother, got caught at everything. No matter what we did, he got caught. I never got caught. And I had a brother who wouldn't rat me out. And I don't know about you, but this is very difficult. It was very difficult for me. It was almost unbearable. I'm standing here with my brother and my father and mother reading the riot act to my brother for doing whatever we did, because he got caught and I didn't. And then have them say, not just, you've been bad, you've done wrong, you shouldn't do this, but have them say, why don't you behave like your big brother? I didn't find any comfort in those words. It was almost, why did you just take it out on me? Let me take the whooping. It bothered my conscience. And I think even that was the grace of God, that I realized that I was not good. Despite the fact that my mother and father saying that I was good, that I was the example. I was not the example. And that is the problem with religion, my friend. Religion will paint you white and you're not. The religion will mark you down as good, but you're not. The Bible says there's none good. There's none righteous. No, not one. And as long as you go on deluding yourself, thinking, I'm a good little boy, I'm the example, I'll be all right, I'm better than my neighbor, I'll make it to heaven, I can earn it, I'm doing my best, I go to church, I was baptized, I took the sacrament, I took the Lord's Supper, I've got a Bible, I pray 5 times a day, I fast during the week, I do good. As long as you keep talking that away, my friend, you're lost and you do not know it. And the harvest is going to go by you, and the summer is going to end, and you're not saved. Because there's no salvation outside of Christ. And let me make it as simple as I can, because Paul mentioned this. They've taken you away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Salvation is a gift. You don't earn a gift. You don't pay for a gift. You only do what with a gift? You receive a gift. And God is offering you a gift. It's called eternal life. He's not paying a wage. If you remain lost and you don't get saved, you're going to pay a wage. And that's going to be eternal death in a place called hell. Salvation is only by Christ, only in Christ. It's a gift that God gives to the sinner if he'll but receive it. It's not by works of a righteousness. It's not by what we do. In fact, he says we have to repent of our dead works and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is simple. Christ did all the work for you, and he's offering you a gift. Are you thirsty? Drink from the water of life. Are you hungry? Eat the bread of life, which is Christ. So many people have been deceived. You remember that woman? She had an issue of blood for about 12 years, I think the Bible says. She suffered many things of many physicians. Do you remember that story? That's a story of a sinner. She spent all that she had and nothing bettered, but worse. And that's the problem with religion without Christ. It will not only not heal you, not solve the problem, not only take all your money out of your wallet, but you end up in a worse condition than you began. When you go to a physician, you go to a doctor, don't you want to be healed? Yeah? A lot of times, unfortunately, you go to the doctor and they make it worse. Did you know that now they put tags on your feet if you're going to go get an amputation? Because they want to make sure they cut off the right foot. And sometimes, even with a tag, they cut off the wrong foot. It would be terrible to go into a hospital and they cut off the wrong foot. Now they got to go back and cut off the other foot. Now you don't have any feet. But how much worse it would be for you to go into a religion making you promises of life, and then on judgment day you say, Lord, didn't I go to church? Lord, wasn't I baptized? Lord, didn't I take my Bible to church? Lord, didn't I do this? Lord, didn't I do that? And Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. Brethren, friends, neighbors, do not be deceived by religion.
Amen.
The jailer asked the apostles, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Listen to what the apostle says, what the apostle said. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Period. Did not say, get water baptized. Did not say, confess your sins to the priest. Did not say, make sure you take the sacraments. Did not say, keep the commandments. Did not say, keep the Sabbath. Did not say, don't eat pork. Did not say any of those things. They answered the question that's written in the Bible, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Did you believe, Nancy? Amen. Didn't mean to put you on the spot. Sorry about that. But the hallelujah, you did believe. I believe too. Have you believed?
Amen.
Or are you still lost? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are certainly people in the world like that, been deceived by religion. I'm afraid a great majority, if the Bible is true, deceived by many shall say in that day. And he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. There's another group of people that the harvest has passed and the summer has ended and they're still not saved. Maybe you know some of these people. Somebody like Felix in Acts chapter 24, and as Paul reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Tremble at the hearing of the word of God and answer, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Know anybody like that? They tremble at the thundering of the gospel. They tremble. They know it's true, but not today. I told you this story as well, but it's well worth repeating. I worked at the post office, and when you're in the post office, you're sorting mail in what they call these pigeonholes, and you're there 12 hours sorting mail. So you really get to know who your neighbor is because you're just talking all night long. And of course, my favorite subject was the gospel. So I'm talking to my friend Tom. Told him my wife was a great cook. She agreed to invite him over for dinner. We had him over. We talked to him about the gospel. He's weeping at our table. Weeping at the gospel. Believe the gospel. Understood the gospel. And we said, would you like to call on the Lord? No, not right now. When? Maybe tonight. Maybe when it's convenient. Maybe when I've got time. Tom, don't leave. The Spirit is wooing. The gospel is clear. The Word of God is on the table. You read the promises of God. Call upon God now. No, not right now. Big old crocodile tears coming down his face. Please don't walk out those doors. Got to work that night. He would not talk to me as if he was a stranger. I don't know if he ever got saved. I don't think so. I can hope so, but you ever know anybody like that? They tremble at the Word of God. They understand the Word of God and the judgment of God, but they just don't get saved and they remain lost. James, he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor, and that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The counsel of Scripture is, if the Spirit is wooing and God's Word is in your face and you can see the promises of God and you yourself are trembling, now would be the time to call upon the Lord. Not tomorrow, today. But do you know anybody that says tomorrow? A lot of young people say that, don't they? Tomorrow. But surprisingly, even older people say it, Lindell. They'll say it. Not today. Tomorrow. You might not have it tomorrow. You're on your last legs. But tomorrow. And our brothers from Mexico. Mañana. Mañana. We'll do it tomorrow. When are you going to get it done? Mañana. Tomorrow. When it comes to the gospel, you better take it today. Amen. And if that rescue boat is floating by you, you better jump on today because it might not be there tomorrow.
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation. There's another fellow in the Scriptures named Festus. And this is in Acts chapter 26, picking up in verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. You really believe that Bible? Are you crazy? You believe in a resurrection? You've been studying too much. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner, King Agrippa. Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, but lost. That close, but lost. Just right around the corner was the salvation. Right there is the gospel. Right there, you could have received it. Christ is in your presence. The Spirit of God is wooing. The Word of God is me preaching. You know it's true. You're trembling, but almost, but not quite. Do you know what? When you say your team almost won, what you're saying is your team lost.
Yeah.
Like the Spurs the other night, they almost won. Almost, but lost. Now it really doesn't matter in eternity's sake who won the game or who lost the game. It really does not matter. It's vain. It's vain. But if you lose your soul because of almost,
amen.
You were right there. You were that close. You were trembling. The Spirit of God was speaking. The Word of God was in your ears. You understood it. You believed it to be true, but you would not call. Almost, but lost. Tragic.
Amen.
The book of Proverbs, the preacher says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I'll read the Word of God tomorrow. I'll call on the Lord tomorrow. I'll start going to church tomorrow. I'll repent tomorrow. I'll get serious about God tomorrow. I'll seek God tomorrow. I'll get saved tomorrow. And then the death angel knocks on your door tonight And there you are in eternity crying out, almost, almost, but lost. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Is it because you're not saved? Is it because it was almost? You were real close, but not quite? That would be tragic. There's still another group of people that are not saved because they would not repent. They harden their hearts. I can't imagine this. The gospel, which became so clear to my eyes in December of 1974, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That I could call upon the name of the Lord and God Almighty would save me. What a gospel. What good news. And yet there are people in the world that would say, no, I don't want that. I don't want God in my life. I don't want Jesus Christ leading me. I don't want to take up a cross and follow him. I don't want to deny myself. I want to go my own way. There are people like that too. The Gospel of John in chapter 1, he was in the world, speaking of the Word, Christ, the Son of God. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Christ, he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Could you imagine the people of Christ's day? He's going, you know, we have tremendous faith. We believe God because of the Bible. But they had Jesus Christ walking in the presence, and they let down this guy down from a roof. They let him down. He was a paralytic guy. He had been crippled, and he's in there, and his friends had brought him. And Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And that crowd said, well, who can forgive sins but God? That's true. Only God can forgive your sins. But who can do that? And Jesus says, which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up and walk? But that you might know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins, he tells the man that was in that paralytic bed, rise up and walk. And before their eyes, he rose up and walked. Did you know there were people in that crowd that still would not believe? No! I saw the miracle. I saw him rise again. He's alive, but no, I will not follow him. Wow. This is the condemnation. The light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, lest his deed should be reproved. You're out in the middle of an ocean in a raft that's got a leak in it. Sharks are swimming around. You know you're going to die. Here comes a rescue boat and you say no.
Amen.
No. I'm not going to have anybody tell me what to do. No. I'm not going to deny myself. No. Shake their fist at God. Are you like that?
Amen.
The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Have you been saved?
Amen.
He that being often reproved hardened his heart shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That is what I fear. That there may be somebody in this room that would shake their fist at God and say, no, I don't want his salvation. No, I don't want him to save me. I don't want to be forgiven. I want to go in my own way. I hope that's not you. I hope that you'll be reasonable. I hope you'll consider what Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? When I was out here in the military some 50 years ago, I did my best to win my co-workers to Christ. But I had several of them telling me, flat out, if I follow Christ, I'll have to give up my music. I'm not going to give up my music. If I follow Christ, my mother's not going to like it, and I'm just going to follow my mother. If I follow Christ, I'm going to lose my friends, and I'd rather have my friends than Christ. You think that sounds reasonable? Jesus has given you reasonable things here. Have you counted the cost? Is your temporary life of 89 years or 90 years, I'll give you 100 years, worth eternity? Have you counted the cost of not following Christ? God tells us there are seasons. He says the harvest is past and the summer is ended. It's if you've had your chances, you've had your opportunities, but now you're not saved. The preacher in Ecclesiastes said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A season to hear the truth, a season to repent, a season to seek Him, a season when conviction is strong to respond, a season when the Spirit of God pricks the heart. It's hard to kick against the pricks. Those are but seasons. Did you know that winter has passed? Just went right by us. You guys enjoyed that little bit of cool weather. Just that little bit of cool weather. And now it's going to be creeping up into the hundreds again. It's over. You got a little bit of it, but it's gone. Did you know this year is going to pass, Lord willing? And all the seasons are going to pass. Amen. Did you know death strikes when you're not really thinking about it? We got some people that could stand up and testify through tears this morning and tell you how death suddenly comes. Yeah. Even after living into the good old days, death will still catch you by surprise.
Amen.
The harvest is past. It's over with. No more opportunity there. The summer's ended. It's done. We're going into the fall. The end of the year is coming. And you're still not saved. God gives opportunities. A sermon will stir you. A message will move you. A funeral will awaken you. Tragedy will shake you. A praying mother will weep for you. A faithful friend will warn you, and yet you're not saved. Can I beseech you, or may I? I shouldn't say can. My grandmother would have fits if she heard me say that. May I beseech you? For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, now is the time. Now. I'm not trying to get money from you. Don't want it. Not trying to take advantage of you. I would rather not bother. But I know that God loves you. And Christ came into the world and He died on the cross for you. He suffered on the cross for you and He went into the grave and laid there for 3 days. And on the third day He came out. He's alive. And He wants to give you eternal life. And He says, come, come. Won't you come? He says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, and He will abundantly pardon. What a promise. Seek the Lord while He may be found. While that Spirit of God is touching your heart, respond to the gospel message. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am weak and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. My friends,